We'd love your thoughts. 1-300-736-736. We'll sneak a couple in right now. In fact, Sammy's on the line. What'd you make of the footy yesterday, Sam?
How you going, boys?
Going well.
Great.
Cracking game yesterday. What are we going to do about the draw? Nah, just joking, just joking. I reckon I'd like to know, Kingy, what you think about the slow start, because, God, we were standing there and we were like, you know, we were just pretending the game didn't start, to be honest, but, like, it was so quick and rampant, and then just we flick a switch and then all of a sudden we're on. And it's like, well, you know, where's that in the first 5 minutes there? And also, I thought you guys touched on us getting killed in the middle. I thought the decision to sub Tom Mitchell off was a bit interesting, because I think he only had like 2 clearances, but, you know, he's an in-under player, and I thought we lacked a bit of that in the second half because they were killing us all day. So just want to get your thoughts on that.
You go, Cornsy.
Yeah, I'm worried about Tom Mitchell just with the leg speed. I think he falls over too much. And if he's not, there used to be a discussion around Matty Prittis that I had with a coach of mine once. And he said, if Prittis isn't getting 10 clearances, it's hard to keep him in the team because of what you lose around that. I feel like it's a little bit the same with Tom. If he's not winning clearance and if he's not there, then outside of that, he can be exposed a little bit. So as the game goes on, fatigue becomes a factor, then they're clearly conscious of that. So
I didn't have
an issue with Tom Mitchell getting something.
No, he had two. And he, when you're getting beaten as a midfield 40-23 at clearances and you're not contributing there, I mean, you can stand still and get 2 clearances for the game. You really, I mean, that's nothing to celebrate. So he did get exposed on the outside. I saw a couple of bits of vision. I did a deeper dive into it last night. There's a couple of moments where he chooses to go into the pack and on the edges of the pack. There's a goal to Parrish early in the game where he snaps it.
Mm.
He snaps it and you can see the Bombers players circle the stoppage effectively, or the drop of ball. And he's responsible out of that stoppage for one of the mids, and he's just nowhere near him. So I think he comes under pressure, but he's one always put under pressure. I think Craig McRae put him under pressure late last year, even though they won't tell us that. And he had a pretty good turnaround. He had a pretty good final series, didn't he?
From grand final.
It is difficult to just give up on these players, given they've taken you so far the previous season.
All right, we'll get to another Sam and Steve who wants to have their say as well. This is Fireball Friday. We're reviewing the epic on Anzac Day, which ended in a draw. It's all for the Drain Man. Drain problems, call the experts the Drain Man. And we'll speak about what the fallout will be for Brisbane as well and how good are the Giants. Plenty coming up. Dyson Heppel, Tom Morris, all on the agenda this morning. And Kingy. All right, you can get involved and join in the conversation with us wherever you may be listening to us this morning. 1-300-736-736. That's the number. Sam's been waiting patiently. What'd you make of Anzac Day, Sammy?
Gonya, Kunzi and Kingy. Look, being a Collingwood supporter, I've got an observation about Lachie Schultz. I think he's been a huge disappointment. We've had 7 games now. Now, he is very slow. And he's there to kick goals, and he just hasn't been up to it. His possession rate is low. He's done some good things. He's done some really good team things. However, he's still there to kick goals. And as yet, he hasn't displayed that willingness to kick the goals. Like, I'd rather have Harvey Harrison in. I think Harvey Harrison has got a bit of X factor about him.
Yeah, I agree that Harrison needs an opportunity. I think you're spot on there, Sam. Schultz hasn't really had the big game yet, has he?
Not yet. Stick with him. Stick with him, Sammy. He's a good footballer, and I think he won't let you down in time. But, yeah, it's been an underwhelming start. I'm looking at him just wondering how well prepared he's been coming into the season. He does look a bit heavy to me. I think he needs to just trim down a little bit would be the question that I've got, just observing him from the outside. And maybe it's the new Collingwood jumper, but he looks heavy. I think he can be a bit slimmer, which may help him get up and down the ground.
I think if you're giving away a first-round draft pick, that player needs to be the reason you win games. Not just along for the ride, not just a nice to have. He has to be the reason you win games. And right now, you would say that hasn't been the case. There's a long way to go. He's 7 games into 6 years. So let's just relax a little bit. I'm a little bit with you, Sam. He's on watch.
On watch, Sammy. You like it. Steve's in prospect. You want to speak about the pressure factor, Steve?
Yeah, morning, men. How are we today?
Great.
Okay, so, Kingy, I didn't quite catch what you were going to say, or you may not have continued on what you're about to say, but I suppose you only have to look at my club, the struggling Kangaroos, and realise if you don't apply pressure, you're going to get scored against quite heavily. I looked at our pressure gauges last week, and we only had one player in the good range. The rest were average.
Mm.
So I'm just curious as to how Kingy feels that pressure isn't very important in the game.
Oh, no, I didn't say it wasn't very important. I've just done some benchmarking. I think there's a limit to it. We'll discuss it tomorrow on Crunch Time because I haven't quite finished it, but I just think it gets overs when it reaches a certain point, which is, in my opinion, not viable.
Stick around, Scotty and Billy. It is time for the news headlines still to come as well. Our review of last night's disaster for the Lions. All right, a couple more calls and we'll put a full stop on this game and we'll move on to the other Anzac Day game yesterday. A different scenario for both teams that played clearly. Scott's in Geelong. You want to speak about the ruck, Scotty? What's your thoughts?
It was probably more Wednesday night than yesterday, but I don't think the Essendon setup of Goldstein and Draper playing as a key forward will work in the long run. Yeah, they're big, but how many times did they actually bring the ball to ground yesterday? A lot of times they get bodied by a defender and another defender comes over the top and intercept marks. But it really stood out on Wednesday night when the Richmond tried to play Naismith as a key forward. It just doesn't work. I go back to Paul Salmon. That was one that did work, but there's not too many in between.
No, it's a great call, isn't it? That's exactly... Jason Dunstall says the same thing. Every Thursday night he says to me, have a look at this. They're selecting a third tall forward that they think's going to swing the game. Tell me the last time a third tall forward swung a game. Actually kicked 4 or 5 and said, put your best key defender on me now. And the last time a ruckman grabbed a game by the agates at full forward, it just doesn't happen. It's a myth.
Rarely. I mean, the Koning was probably the one last week. But
the other two were going beautifully, weren't they? Like, he was legit. You're right. I should give him a bit more credit for his game last week. But doesn't happen very often. When was the last ruckman that actually went to full forward, apart from Paul Salmon 30 years ago? Is there another ruckman in the comp that has that capability?
So that's why Freo is such an interesting watch, because that has to be Jackson. It has to be. So that's the watch. It's not going to be Darcy. He can't do it. So Fremantle, a very interesting watch for the next 7 years that combination.
The Jackson discussion I want to have with you on a deeper level. I think Jackson can play ruck rover and get the same. Well, This is where we disagree. This is why I want to have the conversation. It's a short convo if you're just saying it doesn't work. I think he can do what the other centre forward players are doing. Why can't he?
I keep hearing that, but I just because I haven't seen it. His best stuff is from the ruck. His best follow up clearance.
Doing what?
All of that. But his starting position needs to be versus the ruckman. When he goes and plays
Why?
As a genuine on baller, you watch how lost he gets. He's got no idea what he's doing. He's a tap the ball, ground level, follow up, bang, crash. He's got no craft of how to win a clearance off the ruckman's hand in that way.
Neither does Jeremy Cameron when he goes in there. But they get a matchup that they can enjoy when they get forward post clearance.
Yeah, Cameron rarely goes to a stop. All he is doing is trying to lose his direct opponent. He's not going centre bounce, winning clearance.
He did last year.
He's coming up. Yeah, well, very rarely, I think.
Last year, definitely. Maybe more than that last year. I'm going to give you the numbers in a minute. Centre bounce, yeah. But I'm also saying as a wingman, he can do it. Why can't Jackson play wing and do the same thing?
Wing's a different discussion than on ball.
Well, it's okay. We're having the discussion, aren't we? So, he doesn't have to play full forward.
I would like to...
My point is he doesn't have to be full forward.
I would like to experiment with him on the wing. I think that would be worth doing because he can get back and he can intercept and he can get forward and get a mismatch. But it's not going to be as a genuine key forward like they think he is going to be.
Some good noms coming through. Ottens, David Hale. David Hale's a good one. Forget about David Hale's impact as a forward. Brad Ottens.
Goldie kick five in a game once?
Did he?
For North, I reckon he did. I reckon he had a big day out, maybe against Geelong. There's a memory there of Goldie.
I reckon that was Haley.
I reckon it was David Hale. Yeah. I reckon look up how many. Whilst we get Billy against the
fullback of the century down there.
Billy, tell us about the player that you lost versus the player that you got at the Pies.
Yeah, just quickly, gents, I just wanted your opinion on this. I'm not a Collingwood supporter, but is Ginnivan doing better at Hawthorn than what Schultz is doing at Collingwood? And do Collingwood miss Ginnivan?
Oh, that's a good question. That's a good question, Billy, because there's more to Jack Ginnivan than just kicks, marks and handball. He brings an energy. He brings an investment with the crowd. Whenever he gets the ball, the crowd are involved. I love watching him play, Cornsy. I know it's a different... We're getting off track a little bit. Schultz is not that sort of player, but he's a very good player, Schultz. I think we just give him a little bit of time to set himself in a new club, new system, new environment. Let's give him some time to settle.
Yeah, it was a win-win for both, I think, Bill. I think in the end, I think that both clubs would look at it like that. Goldie kicked five twice against Melbourne. Kicked five goals twice against Melbourne. So there you go. I reckon
it was David Hale down in Geelong.
David Hale may have got a hold of Geelong. Yeah. This is Fireball Friday on SEN Breakfast. Thanks to Melbourne Airport Parking. Book online for the best rates at melbourneairport.com.au and for Sonos Experience. Game-changing sound this season with Sonos. We'll talk about GWS. Will they smash Brisbane? How'd they do it? We'll talk about that next.